This is an interview with Michael Fowle about the Abbots Bromley Horn Dance, recorded by Ian Morris.
It's just after 5 o'clock on the 10th of July, and I'm speaking with Michael Fowle in St Nicholas's Church in Abbots Bromley. Is that right?
That's correct, yes.
Fantastic. Could you just describe where we are and what we're looking at, please?
So we are in the back end of St Nicholas's Church in Abbots Bromley. It's part of Staffordshire. We are currently sat underneath the 6 deer antlers. So these are reindeer antlers that are carried by the 6 horn dancers for Abbots Bromley Horn Dance once a year on the first Monday after the first Sunday after the 4th of September.
And how many are here?
There are 6. There are split into 3 or 2 teams, so that's 3 whites and 3 commonly referred to as blues, although they are painted brown now.
Lovely, that's fine. So what I'd like to start with is, I know that your family have got a long tradition of the horn dance. Could you explain your first memories of either this folk tradition or another and how it then developed for you?
Yeah, so my first memories are of this horn dance. I think I was quoted on my 7th. So I was 7 at the time, at the first time I danced. And I was quoted as saying, I've waited my entire life to do this dance. But even before that, I spent every year coming to the dance, walking around with the dancers. I have vivid memories of Jamie Bradbury, one of the other current dancers, walking with me on his shoulders through part of the town. It just has such a personal feeling about this dance for me. And as you mentioned, it is a family tradition. It's been dated back over 100 years for my personal family, and I think 7 to 10 generations.
So your eyes lit up when I asked you about being involved in the tradition. Why is it so special for you?
Hard to put into words. So for all of my life, I've been a part of this tradition, whether it has been a bystander watching my dad as I grew up, or being able to finally be a part of the dance as well. On the first years I was a dancer, I was on the bow and arrow. And the bow and arrow walks alongside the hobby horse. The hobby horse at the time was my great uncle, who used to walk along with me. We'd talk, we'd chat. It was one of the few times of the year I saw him and spent what I saw as very valuable time with this man, understanding who he was, how he is as a man. And I personally believe that this has shaped me into the man I am now, because I've always had that family backup of, even though some of the dancers aren't officially family by blood, they always have been. There has always been that group of people that you can always turn to.
So is it intermarriage, interpartnerships, that sort of thing, and that's how people become dancers?
So there are some dancers that have been recruited more recently due to their location, effectively. So they're from Bromley, such as Kenny Walkerdon. But previously, there are the likes of my dad, my granddad. It was always males, so it had to be the male side of the family. And it was always, or not always, but predominantly foul men. So that's, like I say, it was my great uncle Doug. It was Clag, or Clarence. He'll hate the fact that I used his real name. There's Carl, Michael Sr., Tony. There have always been so many of the foul men in this dance, and that's why it's always been a big thing for me. And as an only son, there was a constant, I wouldn't say pressure, but it's always there in your mind of, if I don't have a son, the last foul is me.
So it goes back further than 8 generations as far as dating.
Yes.
I've read 1226. So the foul side has mm-hmm. come into it.
Yes.
Do we know how that happened?
Yes. So that was a marriage between the Bentleys and the Fowles. So I believe it was, I, can't remember which way around it was, but it was predominantly Bentley's originally, and then I believe it must have been a Bentley daughter married a Fowl male, and then it followed through with the Fowl name since.
Do we know how the dance actually started in 1226 and why?
Officially, no. So I also can't tell you whether it did start in 1226. Yes, I appreciate that that's one of the dates that have been batted around and that people have affixed to this dance. But for example, one of the horns was previously carbon dated to over 1,000 years old. Now, again, we cannot say that that was brought here for the dance, seeing as though these are reindeer antlers and reindeer are not indigenous to this country. So at some point these were brought to this country for this, we assume. But as I alluded to previously, there is no written reason, rhyme, date for why this started or when it started. And I love that mystery. I love the fact that I can't turn around to you and say, yes, it started on this date because of this. I've heard many of people come up to us and say, oh, well, I believe it's because of this, or is it because of fertility rights? Is that why you go around the farms? And I can't say no. If that's what they want to believe, if that's, yes, it is because of that, or it is because of every reason that people come to us with. And I love that. I love that nobody's wrong. Whatever you want this dance to mean to you, that's okay.
So you think it's a very, very personal feeling being a member of the horn dance?
Absolutely. For me, it is. I mean, I obviously can't speak for the other dancers, but yes, for me, it's always been personal. Like I said, it's my dad danced it, my sisters have danced it, my mum has danced it, although that's a controversial thing in itself because women aren't supposed to dance. But having all of my family go through this dance at some point and knowing that I will now pass this on to my son, it just has such a deep feeling for me, for this dance to be a part of my life.
So there's so much mystery.
Yes.
As you've mentioned, why is it only men?
Honestly, I cannot say. I know that really doesn't answer your question. I could hazard a guess that it would go back to the likes of, if it was fertility, then yes, it would be the men that would go around and would represent that fertility. The questionable male in the group is the one dressed as Maid Marian. So there is a man who wears a dress and carries what look like sexual symbols of a cup and a stick, effectively, that are or previously were beaten together. We don't do that at the moment because effectively it's getting aged and we don't want to have to replace them, so we've moved on from that, but they are still carried. So to come back to your point about why is it men, I really couldn't say.
So this is a good juncture to actually tell me how many members of the group, and I'm very aware that they all perform different roles.
Mm-hmm.
And you said there's two teams.
Yep.
Could you just explain the other roles and then we'll go on to your own particular one?
Of course. So there are a total of 13 currently, 12 normally. So that it consists of 6 horn dancers, a bow and arrow boy, or usually boy, a hobby horse, a Maid Marian, a jester, a triangle, and one musician. Now, currently we have 2 musicians, which is why it's 13.
Do we know how it evolved into 13?
Officially, no. So I believe, I know, unfortunately, a lot of these answers are going to be up to each individual's interpretation. And previously, I believe a fiddle was a part of the musical arrangement. However, now it's moved on to either melodeon or accordion. I think my Uncle Doug was a big part of that because he was melodeon player, not accordion. But he didn't know how to read or write music and learn everything by ear. So I had somebody recently reach out and ask me about the music and said, is it this piece? And again, my response was, well, we can't be sure. Due to the fact that Doug learned this music by ear, made slight changes to the music, and the musicians now try to interpret what Doug did instead of what was before that, and I'm sure the next set of musicians will try to interpret these musicians, and it will keep evolving and changing, or I hope at least.
So could you just explain the role of each member?
Yeah, so the triangle is arguably one of the most important, even though it's undertaken by a child. So they are the pace keeper. So the ding of the triangle should fall on every left foot of the dancer. So as the dancer's left foot hits the ground is when the triangle should ding. The musician adds flavour to that musical instrument. The hobby horse and bow and arrow are symbolic of Robin Hood and the, I forget his name, Sheriff, sorry. Hence why when we face, the bow and horse face each other, so the Sheriff of Sherwood is fighting Robin Hood. Maid Marian and the Jester, honestly, can't say why they're there. You could assume, obviously, Maid Marian to support Robin Hood and the Jester supporting the Sheriff, as they do fall on those sides of the face, as we'll say. And then the six dancers, again, it is assumed fertility, as they will face each other. So the whites face the blues. They are almost two teams, as I mentioned previously, and they will rut together. Obviously, with the age of these horns, we don't actually butt them together for fear of damaging them, but symbolically we come together as if they were to. And then when the leader shouts through, the whites lift up and the blues go down to fall between each other, and the leader is currently my father. It will be passed to myself in the future, and they carry the number one horn, which is the largest and most prestigious of the horns.
So the horn that you wear, mm-hmm, is which one, and please describe it.
It is number four. It is the lightest white horn, thankfully. To say the lightest isn't to say it is light, it is just lighter than the others. So I believe they range from around 14 pounds to about 28, although I may be wrong on that, please let me confirm. But yeah, so I carry the lightest horn. It was the one that was previously carbon dated, so it has a cutout on the right side of the horn, and the top part of the right antler is also broken.
Could you describe it, because there's a head, and how it was carved, what it looks like, please?
Yes, so every horn has a wooden head and wooden shaft that is used to support and hold the horns. The heads have all been painted brown to represent a deer, and the antlers that are attached, as I mentioned earlier, are reindeer antlers. They are from real reindeer that were shed many, many years ago and have been affixed with metal straps to these wooden heads.
And you're saying your father is the head at the moment?
Yes.
So the one behind me?
Yes. It is a very imposing horn. It is, as a dancer, it is the most unruly and awkward of the horns, because it splays in such a way that it cannot sit on both shoulders. So all the other horns, as they come away from the wooden head, they splay out to the sides, but they're usually about the width of a normal man. So you can rest them on your shoulders and carry them relatively easily. The leader's horn does not splay in this way, and it means that you can only ever get it on one shoulder or the other for it falling off your arm, which, as I mentioned, makes it the most unruly one to hold, and it is, of course, the heaviest.
So you're saying that you've got that particular one. Mm-hmm. Why were you, or are you, is it because you're number two in the group or something else?
No, it's usually done on whoever left last. So when I went onto the horns, the previous leader, Tony, stepped down. So when Tony stepped down, my dad stepped up to be the next leader. And that meant that my dad moved on to the large white, leaving a space behind him, which I took up.
So when you first, it's taken off the wall, mm-hmm. and you then receive it.
Yeah.
How does it actually make you feel? That's without putting anything else on, just putting the horn on.
So this is where it all ties into religion. So the first thing we do whenever we take the horns down on Horn Dance Day is they are all lined up in front of the altar for Reverend Simon, and he will, at the time, say a prayer over the horn, say a prayer over ourselves before we all leave the church. We will then line up outside, at which point we would all make sure we've got our own horns, because up until that point, it's within reason, free for all, to make sure that they're all in the right place and that everybody is sorted. However, to answer your question, it always feels very familiar. It's like when you put on your favourite coat, sort of thing. It just fits and it sits well. And my horn is, thankfully, as I mentioned, one of the lighter ones, but it is so well suited to me that I can rest it on my shoulders and completely let go, and it will just sit there. And like I said, that feeling is like putting on an old coat. It's just so comforting, so familiar.
And it feels as though it's just a second skin, the way you're describing it.
Yeah. Yeah, and until I'm asked to lead and take on my dad's horn, yes, it is.
What then happens about wearing the rest of the costume?
So I'll kind of go through it a little, if that's okay. So we have a tunic with a almost like a vest on top. We have a very specific pair of trousers that are 3/4 length, and then knee-high green socks. This is all part of our outfit, along with a tan, sandy, browny beret, and black shoes.
So when you receive the horns, mm-hmm. you're already dressed?
Yes. So we would all usually arrive to the church in our uniform, in our outfit, however we want to phrase it. And then we would stand in front of Reverend Simon to receive our horns in our uniform before moving just outside the church.
So the horns are kept in the church?
They are, yes.
Where and who keeps the outfits?
So each individual keeps their own uniform.
Sorry, uniform.
Yeah, sorry. Please, I'm not so worried about the phrasing. It's just my own turn of phrase. So yeah, each individual keeps their uniform. They are responsible for maintenance, cleaning, care of that uniform. So if you lose a button, it's up to you to make sure you sew the button back on before you next need it. But there is an individual, Terry, at this time, keeps a list of older uniforms and any surplus uniforms that might be needed if we have stand-ins or the likes.
So could we just go to where you've brought your uniform?
Of course.
And literally you describe, as we work from top to bottom and from first layer outwards, what it is you would put on first and then go from the rest, please.
Of course. So as silly as it is, I normally start with my socks. Because the socks are, I said knee-high earlier, these socks will come up to my thighs, so I would have to roll these back down before putting on my trousers, because they will hold my trousers in place. The bottoms of my trousers, of course. So then it would be the trousers, which are a almost grey-green colour with oak leaves on. Well, oak leaves and acorns. Moving on to the top half, we try to wear horn dance t-shirts, which we do make available to individuals on the day. However, you can effectively wear any t-shirt underneath because it is not visible. We then have the tunic, of which mine is a reddish brownish colour with brown oak leaves and acorns on it, which is full length sleeves and tunic. On top of this we have a green vest with detailing around the chest to almost like military regalia. And then moving up is the brownish hat that I mentioned earlier, or beret that I mentioned earlier. I mentioned that I personally wear green on top of red because I carry a white horn. If I were to carry a blue horn, I would be wearing red on top of green. So there is a slight difference in the uniforms depending on which side you carry. We do try to keep that, even if it's a stand-in, we will try and keep those colours. Although some of the older uniforms are of a slightly different colour. When we had these uniforms made, they had to be made custom, as these aren't the sort of things that you could pick up from your local JCPenney's, for example. But the materials we sought were more durable and lightweight, as previously we had a more woolen attire, and I think it was in mid to early 2000s, 2010s, there was a torrential downpour for the entire day. Obviously this didn't stop us dancing, but what it did mean is we got exceptionally wet, and some of these uniforms, being woolen, became very heavy, and then subsequently when they dried, they were not the same size as they were when you put them on. Yes, they were considerably smaller. So it facilitated us needing new uniforms and the push toward these new uniforms.
So you described the uniform. Could you also describe what the material and what they're made of? So the socks to start with?
Yeah, so the socks are, I would say, like football socks. They feel very similar to football socks. The trousers, these are a very thin material. I honestly wouldn't be able to tell you what I think this material is, but the clothing on the upper body, this is a lot thicker. It's more akin to what your curtains would be made of. It isn't made of curtain material, but it's more akin to that. One thing I didn't mention earlier is on the shoulders. With the newer uniforms, we did have small padding areas added to the shoulders. As I mentioned previously, the horns are rather heavy, and carrying them on your shoulders all day does take a toll. So if we can have that minor padding, it does help. The outer jacket is a lot more rough, a lot more like a, I wouldn't say corduroy, but more like a denim material. It is, again, quite heavy, which helps with heat, I'm sure. Keeps us nice and toasty, but it does add a textural element to the uniform that breaks up the smooth of all the other parts of the gear.
Have you had to have different uniforms yourself as you've grown older?
Yes, so I have had, I think, around four uniforms. So when I was a very small boy, I had the not previous, but prior to that uniform, which was a vest-like tunic, a shirt, and then similar trousers that were pure green. Moving onward, I had a single-breasted tunic that is of the woolen material, with trousers more akin to those that are worn by the dancers now. I then moved up to the horns, at which I had the woolen uniform, which is very similar to the one I'm currently wearing, with the green on red tunic. However, they were made of woolen material, and the detailing was in a golden material, as opposed to a slightly different green, which it is now.
I noticed on the outer jacket, the light green one, that you have a flash and a badge.
Yes.
Could you describe what they are?
Yes, so the black ribbon was worn because the last time we danced, Jeff Bradbury had recently passed away at that time. Jeff was in the dance for 50 years. We'd recently had t-shirts printed for the, I think it was the prior year where Jeff had done 50 years of dancing. He didn't make it to the last dance, so we wore that over our hearts to signify or to pay our respects to Jeff. The badge is a badge that is just a horn dance badge. It's the image on it was traced from a picture taken of Jamie Bradbury, funnily enough, Jeff's son, who still dances. But it was designed by my sister, funnily. And it is just a acrylic badge that says the Abbots Bromley Horn Dance on it with a picture of Jamie Bradbury.
So is that reasonably new?
I would say the badge is last 10 years or so. So the badges and the t-shirts were originally brought in by my parents, but they have since been continued by others.
So do you see that the uniform will change and alter as the years go on?
I personally believe the essence of the uniform will always stay the same. I have never known anything but oak leaves and acorns on this uniform. I believe they will always be there. Will the materials change? Most likely. Will the colours alter slightly? It's an almost guarantee. But the, as I say, the essence of the uniform, I imagine, will stay the same.
Where do you see the horn dance fitting within other folk customs around the country?
I personally want to see the dance incorporated in more things. I would love to be at more events, spend time with more dancers, whether they be Morris, whether they be other traditional dancers, folklore dancers. It's almost immaterial to myself personally. I would just like to see a bigger conglomerate. So whether that's any kind of traditional dance for this country, they all have their place. I don't see us trying to better any other team or any other team. There is no competition between us and other Morris dancers. They have their niche, we have ours.
So you would describe yourselves as Morris dancers, or would you describe yourself as something different?
If you were to ask a lot of the dancers, they will vehemently say, we are not a Morris dance. It's not because there's anything wrong with that. It's just, I think it's one of those that their grandparents said they're not a Morris dancer, so we've just continued that tradition. I would say we are a traditional dance. Quotedly, the oldest traditional dance in Britain. So that's a little hurrah that we have for ourselves.
How do, to keep the traditions going, mm-hmm. Traditions sometimes come and go depending on who's involved.
Yes.
And then other people pick them up 10, 15, 20 years on. How do you see keeping the horn dance up there as something that people really want, somebody really wants to come and keep going?
I think a lot of that is driven by the current dancers and the families around them, and even the area itself. So Abbots Bromley, it is a part of the history of the town that this has always been here for as long as anybody knows. And with the individual, so for myself, as I mentioned earlier, I recently had a son. My son will take the horn, the lead horn after me. I'm hoping that he wants to. Obviously, it's still very early days. He's 7 months old. But to say, how do traditions, or do I think this tradition will continue? Absolutely yes. How that will happen, I'm not sure, but as the next leader, it is my view that the dance is the important piece. Yes, we have traditions of, I've alluded to earlier, always black shoes. Other individuals have been reprimanded for turning up in trainers, many moons ago, but it's minor things. And as I also alluded to, girls were never supposed to do the dance. My sisters have all done the dance because it was a case of either my sister does it or it stops. Which one is more important to us as the dance as a whole? My view is always maintain the dance. I mean, COVID was a big thing recently, as I'm sure everybody's aware. We officially cancelled the horn dance for, as far as I'm aware, the first time ever. Second piece for that in a second. But the dance was officially cancelled, and we said, please do not turn up for the dance. This is, we will not be doing anything. Little white lie. We did all get together to have a small, very quick dance outside of the restory and the vicarage, so that we could say, we have marked this day, even though we're not supposed to, even though it shouldn't happen. We, as the dancers, all came together and we decided it was worth the risk. As long as we stuck to the outlines and the guidance of the government, the dance needed to continue. And in the 29 years that I've been alive, I've missed 1 year, and that was because I broke my leg, sort of thing. It is so ingrained in the dancers that this will continue, whatever that means. And if that means individuals that are outside, we will adapt.
How does being a member of the horn dance impact on your life?
As a child, it was very different. I purposely didn't tell my friends for fear of being judged, I guess, as a child. But obviously, as I've become an adult and become my own man, I will shout it to the rooftops, because it is something I'm proud of. It's something that I think everybody should see, or everybody should experience at least once. Whether they do is entirely up to them, of course, but it is an experience. It's not just a dance. And I know that some Morris dancers and some other traditional dancers will involve others, some will not. Some are very much, we are the dancers, we dance. We, however, are more than happy to, at every stop we make, we will try and drag people from the audience to participate in the dance. So give them the option, and we'll sit and say, well, would you like to take photos with the horns? It's not, it's our tradition, but it's not just for us. It's for everybody to enjoy. It's for anybody to come and experience.
How do you learn it?
I've had this conversation with my fiance. I don't know, is the short answer. Of it's always just something you do. There are very simple rules to it. Of when the leader shouts face, you turn and face the person who would be opposite you. So if you're number one on whites, that's number three on blues. Number three on whites is number one on blues, and middle joining the middle. Beau faces hobby horse, jester faces Maid Marian. And from that you take, this is going off memory, I think it's three steps back, three steps forward, and you continue that until the leader shouts through, at which point you will step to the left of the individual in front of you. So we say right side to right side. That's effectively it. Other than that, the only other call you'll hear is off, at which you follow whichever colour you are. So if you're on the blues, you follow the blue you were following before. If you're on whites, you follow the white you were following before. The only two individuals that have any real agency are the leader and the cutter in. So the cutter in is the term used to refer to number one blue. So the leader and the cutter in stand side by side when we're setting off, and then they will split, and they will, within reason, go where they please, do as they please, until eventually they form a circle at some point at which the leader will shout face or count.
So is it a free rein outside of the caller calling face?
For the leader and cutter in, yes. For everybody else, you follow the person in front of you. And it is that simple. That's why we are happy to have other individuals join us, because it is relatively simple. I know obviously this doesn't translate very well to auditory, but it is quite simple.
So it's a dance to follow?
Yes.
So I could be in the middle of the three of one of the teams, mm-hmm. and as long as I follow the person in front of me, I would be okay?
You would, yes.
Folk traditions.
Hmm.
So I've got a couple of things. Do you think they're thriving, changing, altering, dying, or diluting? And if so, why?
I would personally love to say thriving. So I say this with the knowledge that I used to go to more dances than I do. However, we recently went to Timber Festival in Derbyshire. This is a rather large festival. There was quite a lot of people there. And it was not a festival we would normally attend. So I say that in the respect of, we've never been to Timber Festival before. It is a festival of woodland, which I believe is why we were invited. But it's, we're going to things that we haven't been to previous, and being invited by people we've never spoken to beforehand. So for them to have found us in whatever way that they have, whether it be direct contacts or whether it be through the likes of Facebook, they have found us and they have contacted us and wanted us to be at their events. That to me says that it can't possibly be dying off if people are still reaching out to us, new people. It's not the same people that we were always new. And at the same time, I think, well, this is obviously a very personal thing, my kids are interested in this. Children that, or their friends, think this is cool. So it's, if the younger generation are looking at this and going, that's actually kind of cool, that's kind of neat, that's however they want to phrase it, however they think about it, if they're interested in it, surely it can't, or we shouldn't see that death coming imminently.
So would it be fair to say that the Abbots Bromley folk, the horn dance folk tradition, is one of the most special that other people aspire to try and get you at festivals? Because it dates back so far.
I mean, I obviously have a vested interest in that question. Yeah, I would like to say that that is the case. I know the Coconutters reached out to us recently. They're fantastic guys. We danced with them previously in Backup. They reached out recently to see if we were able to come back. Unfortunately, we weren't at the time, but that's the sort of thing that I want to see us doing more. I want to see that developing. And so I feel like I'm kind of veering away from your question, so could you seeing it develop, seeing it change, doesn't scare me. I'm not worried about whether we make slight changes or whether women can join or whether we dance in black shoes, although I do like the look of the black shoe. It's, as I said earlier, it's whatever it takes to keep the tradition going. Whatever, the dance is more important than any individual within it. And my view is to assist future generations of keeping that going. So I somewhat alluded to this earlier, but there are, recently we wore faux military uniforms. This was 100 years after World War I. So the reason we did this was because I believe it was three individuals were sent back from World War I to undertake the dance. And the dancers who danced their horns wore their uniform, or a replica of their uniform, and had little placards on their chest that said, I am X individual. I believe they were all fowls. So obviously that has a very special place for me, and it just goes to reiterate almost why this dance is so personal and why it's so important to me as an individual.
Thank you so much, Michael. Is there anything that you would like to say that I haven't asked?
That's a very open question. I think for myself, it's seeing this dance move forward isn't just about doing what we've always done and hoping it continues. I would love to go to more events, see more people, have more people involved in this. And I think it's one of the things is, please reach out like you have today to foster that, because I think if we continue down the route we've always done, not a lot's going to change, and it may result in the end of this dance, which would crucify me, honestly, and I understand I'm sat in a church saying that, but it would be so painful for me to see this diminish or have a downturn, even through all the years that we've been here, even through COVID, even the year after COVID, when we were finally allowed to mix, there was still a good crowd. There was a lot of people that wanted to come see this, that wanted to spend their time with us, and that is so important to me, to reach out to new people, to network with these people, even if it's just to say hello. Even there are people that have come for years on end and I've never spoken to them, or they've certain faces that you recognise, you pull out of the crowd, you're like, oh, it's Colin again, for example. And it's just so nice to have that familiarity with individuals who have no affiliation to the dance itself, but to see them every year, to know that it was as important to them to be here as it is for us, is so touching.
There's one question I didn't ask you, which I should have done. Which day of the year is it held and why?
I believe it's referred to as Wake Monday. And this also goes back to, is it a fertility dance? We can't say. But it's the first Monday after the first Sunday after the 4th of September. Catches a lot of people out. It changes every year. We always get asked, what day is it this year? But I believe that this coincides with the end of the Harvest Festival, which, as I say, going back to, is it a fertility dance? It's almost we dance around the farms. So some individuals believe, is it us blessing the farms for the next year's harvest? Or is it thanking for the previous harvest? There are accusations, I guess, or ideas of whether it's a pagan ritual, which again, sitting in a Christian church, isn't it? Something I didn't touch on, obviously mentioning that we do go to other places, is that these horns do not leave this parish. So we do have a replica set of red deer horns that we can take with us if we leave the parish, so when we went to Timber Festival, for example. But these horns, as prestigious as they are, stay here, and they are on display within the church every day of the year, barring a few exceptions. So anybody is able to come see these at any time. Obviously, please check that the church is open. But they are a sight to behold.
Absolutely agree with you, and thank you so much for your time, interest, and passion.
Thank you.